It's important to set forth what was happening here, because if we're going to understand who the Lord's teaching and what He's teaching and how it applies, we have to know something about why He went where He went and set up Himself like He did, so we'll know who it is He's talking to. All right, let's look here first of all and consider who the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to. Verse 1 says, well, let's begin reading here in verse 23. Jesus went about all, chapter 4, verse 23 of Matthew. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and Decapolis, and Jerusalem, and Judea, and beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. Now, the first thing I want you to realize is there's a difference here between the multitudes and His disciples. Look over with me in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And notice here that the Lord's apostles and His disciples were those who, by His grace, believed on Him and heard His words and followed Him. And the multitudes here are those who followed Him for various reasons other than a grace of His grace working in their heart. Let me show you that. There's a distinction made. Luke 6:17. And He came down with them, that is His apostles, and stood in the plain, and the company of His disciples. That's the apostles and His disciples. Those who were, the disciple means to be taught of the Lord. These were those who were taught of the Lord. The apostles were taught of Him. And a great multitude of people were there as well, out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, it tells why the multitude came, which came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Him. For there went virtue out of Him and healed them all. And He lifted up His eyes on His disciples. And then He begins to teach them. What I want you to see here, the reason I want to make this distinction is because we won't understand what He's teaching if we don't enter into this. You see, the multitudes here show us something about why our Lord had to correct so much of what had been taught as He stood, as He delivered this sermon on the Mount. When we see the multitudes, we understand why He had to correct so much of what had been taught. The multitudes, it says, came to hear Him, not to believe on Him. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. What's the difference between in that? They came, you remember the waters of Bethesda, where it says sick people would come or be brought there, and they would sit there beside that pool. And once in a year, the angel of the Lord would trouble the waters, and they would wait for those waters to be troubled so they could get into those waters. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was to a great multitude of people a novelty, sort of an oddity, just like the pool of Bethesda was. And they came to hear Him, but they didn't come to heed what they heard. And there's multitudes in our day who do the same thing. They come to hear. They come to His word. They come to His service. They come to an assembly where He is preached, not to hear Him, but to hear something that will give them a leg up tomorrow with their fellow man or in this world or what have you. They came to hear him for those reasons. The multitudes did. And then it says they came to be healed of him physically, but not spiritually. Well, there were some who came to be healed of him physically that were healed spiritually. But the majority came because they wanted to be healed. They weren't interested in being his disciples. They weren't interested in confessing him and following him, in worshiping him and submitting to him. They wanted to have something done about their flesh to make life easier on them. That's another reason a great many come to this word and come to an assembly of his saints, is because they just want something that's going to help them according to the flesh. That's just going to make life a little easier on them. Well, and then it says they sought to touch him because when the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment, they had heard that virtue went out of him. They heard him say, "Virtue went out of me." Virtue is really, you can sum it up and say it's the power and wisdom of Christ. He is the power and wisdom. And I believe that a great many who had heard that and heard him say that and saw the difference in the woman who had the issue of blood and was healed and truly worshipped him, it wasn't that they wanted, they recognized that he had some kind of power and he had some kind of wisdom. And when they heard him say that that went out of him, they thought that it went out of him and that this woman got it apart from him. Apart from having him, he's the wisdom and he's the power of God. We can't have, it's not that the virtue was diminished from him. It's that when the virtue went out of him and into her, she became one with him. And we can't have the power and wisdom of God unless we have Christ. But there were many, and you know this is true, that if you heard of somebody walking around on the streets in your town and you heard that them that had done some miracles like this, and you heard this power and this wisdom about them, and that he had said it went out of them and it went into another girl, and they didn't understand it, they didn't understand what had taken place there. Many came there because they wanted to touch him. They thought, if I can touch him, maybe I'll get power and wisdom. Not because they wanted him who is the power and wisdom, who is the virtue, because they wanted to have it themselves apart from him. So many times in Scripture, when Scripture speaks of add to your faith virtue and all of those things, people think that's something that you and I, as sinners, can have apart from Christ. And so they look at sinners, they look at the flesh, and they put so much emphasis on an outward, some kind of outward sign that shows these things. We can't add those things unless we learn about him who is those things. And that's how those things are added. Christ is increased in our heart, and we learn more of him, and our faith grows towards him. Our virtue grows towards him. It's from him and to him. This is a growing up into him. It's not a growing up apart from him or away from him. So that's what I wanted to point out to you, because it says in our text now, back in Matthew 5:1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. The Lord Jesus Christ separated himself from a great many of these multitudes. And it wasn't that there was not some that heard him speak. He preached to the multitudes. See, there was an occasion he went into a ship and sat down, and the multitudes were there for them, and he preached to them. And there may be some multitudes, or that multitude were here, and he was elevated on this mount so they could hear him speak. That very well may be the case. But he separated himself from this group so that he wouldn't be distracted by them and they wouldn't be a distraction to others, so that he could teach those disciples who he was instructing in power, so that he could instruct them. And then if others heard him that he also instructed in power, so be it. But he knew who his disciples were. We read a scripture says where two or three are gathered in his name. There may be hundreds gathered. There may not be but two or three gathered in his name. that he's gathered in that midst of hundreds. And so these multitudes, when it says he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, he knew who they were, even if they didn't know who they were. And that's who he separated himself from so that he could teach and not be distracted and not have distractions from others. Now, I want you to see something here, too, about him going up into a mountain. You know, the majority of the time when our Lord walked this earth, when he prayed, he separated from the multitudes and went up into a mountain to pray. And second thing is here he's getting sent to teach his disciples. And he goes up into the mountain away from them and sets himself to teach them. Well, here's the first thing. In this setting himself apart to pray and to teach, I see a foreshadowing in this of what our Lord has done and is doing right now. Our Lord Jesus has ascended into his holy hill, into the holy mountain, into heaven, and he's seated on the throne of his majesty. And he's doing two things there. He's making intercession for his people to God, and he's teaching his people. That's the work of a high priest. The work of a high priest is to offer up sacrifices, offerings and sacrifices to God on behalf of the people, and it is to teach the people. And he's doing both right now from his throne in glory. And we read in Psalm 24:3. Turn there with me. Psalm 24:3. I want you to see this. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Think on this long and hard. This is the generation of them that seek him. This is their inheritance. This is this is what makes up their generation. I don't know how to say that, but it is that they have clean hands and a pure heart. They've not lifted up their soul unto vanity. They've not sworn deceitfully. I can't say that about me. I can't say I've never done any of that. But keep read on. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. There's who has clean hands and a pure heart. There's who's never lifted up his soul unto vanity. There's who is righteous throughly, through and through. And there is the one in whom all those things can be said about me. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. So, when he ascends to this mountain on earth, I keep rehearsing this with you over and over and over, that what he did when he walked this earth, he is doing right now, just as surely as when he walked this earth. Now he's not in a hill somewhere on this earth. He's ascended to glory, and he's all present. He's teaching his people from glory right now through his word in the heart, just like he did right here. And he's separating his people, just like he separated himself and called his disciples unto him. You read in another place, if you'll look at the marginal reference there to this about him going into the mountain. Let me read it to you in Mark 3:12. Listen to this reference, Mark 3:12. Is that right? 3:13. He goeth into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came to him. That's who he set his eyes on. That's who he drew to him in this mountain. Now there may have been others that came there for these other reasons, but those he set his eyes on, they came to him for this reason, because he drew them and he brought them there to teach them. Right before this, it says he came to his apostles and he said, follow me. And you know what they did? just what he said do. And as we go through this, we're going to see he's going to say, blessed are those. That's what blessing is. He says, follow me. And you follow him. You follow him. Now, let me show you here. If we want to be a disciple, one taught of Christ, then follow after him. Don't come looking for some kind of wisdom for the world, worldly wisdom. He'll give you wisdom that's beyond this world, and it'll help you in this world. But don't come looking for something that's just going to help you get along in this life. And not after just mere physical healing. Not after something that's just going to make your flesh more comfortable. It will be better for your flesh, what he teaches you. But don't come for that. Don't come for the flesh. Not after a carnal power and a carnal wisdom, but come after him. Come after him. And go to him in his holy mountain, right now, where you sit, by prayer. Go to him in his holy mountain. You have access to him in the mountain, just like these people did. Just as real as these people had access to him in that mountain where he taught, you have access to him right now. Go to him in his holy mountain and ask him. Ask him. If you come seek, I guarantee you that if you come seeking him, you come wanting wisdom from him, him to be your wisdom, you'll have it. You'll have it. He won't upbraid you. He won't turn you away. He'll give it, and you'll have it. And go to him sincerely to have you, him to teach you not your ways, not something you can take then and make a boast in, but have him to teach you of his works and of his ways. So that's what he says. That notice here in Matthew 5:1, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. You see that? When it talked about the multitudes, it gave all those various reasons that they came, didn't it? But here, when it talks about his disciples, it says they came unto him. No other reason. No other thing listed. They came to him. You see that? Our salvation's a person. We're coming to a person. Our salvation is a person. It's not doctrine, though we'll have doctrine to learn about this person. It's not a system, though it's perfectly reasonable, this gospel is. But you're not going to have it because of reason. You're going to have it because of him who's faithful, giving you faith. Because some of these things, it's just beyond any human comprehension, any logic, any reason that you and I can come up with. We're going to believe him. And this thing is more than something that you do as you walk this earth. We're going to talk about that in our message this morning. But the thing is this, is holiness and following after holiness. The very essence of what that is following after Christ. Because the more you follow after Christ, the more you behold that in me, that is in my flesh, profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. There's nothing good in me, and the flesh profits nothing. And that's the only way you're gonna desire more and more of Christ and less of this world. And that's truly what holiness is. It's truly what it is. So I'm gonna give you one more verse, and we're gonna end right here. Turn to Psalm 78:1. Psalm 78:1. And a verse of scripture like this, we cannot make too much over it. And I think that we have a tendency to read over it and think we know what it means. But listen, Psalm 78:1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. To the letter, it came from him. It speaks of him. To the letter of the law, to that 600 plus precepts he gave. To the law written on the tablets of stone? Is that what he's talking about? That law was given by him and speaks of him. Is that what he's talking about? Is he saying search the Scriptures? It's his word. He gave it. Is he saying search them and find, heed what they say and do those and therein you'll find life? Is that what it is? Well, a man can go to all of these the same way that the multitudes came, but not to him. They came, these things came from God our Savior. But a man can go to the letter of the law, he can search the Scriptures for life, and he can and never give ear, never come to him. If you won't hear what I'm saying to you right now, but your heart says, well, no, he's you feel that bitterness in your heart that I'm taking away something that means more to you than anything, your law obedience or your the things that you've searched out and done because of what you saw in the Scriptures or whatever, then you're not coming to him. You're not hearing him. Listen to me. Listen, read it out now. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Now listen. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I wish I could give it to you in your heart the way those words ring in my heart. And see the difference in coming like the multitudes came and coming to hear the words of his mouth, of a person's mouth. Of the Lord who is speaking. That's a drastic difference. A drastic difference. His disciples came unto him. Now look back at Matthew 5:2. Now listen to this. They came unto him, verse 2, and he opened his mouth and he taught them. You know what we're going to see as we go through this? That what he taught them out of his mouth when they came to him, to a person, was altogether different than what they had been taught when they came for all those other reasons, looking at all those other things, and came to all those other things. They were of him, but they weren't coming to him. But when they came to him, he opened his mouth and he taught them his word. All right, come to him. I want you to come to him. All right.